Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
We're constantly living through agendas. And when you see the size of the population of the world, if you have even, say, 100 million people in high-level positions of managing us all, it's not difficult to make anything happen or to make anything perceived to be the way they tell you it is. It's all perception management, isn't it? And if they keep you running and being afraid and terrified all the time, most folks shut down or they will not perceive what's in front of them and why things are happening. That's what terror is for, is to make you to comply and to be so afraid. They can change everything one step at a time, but very quickly, because you're stampeding, you see. You have no grounding in reality left in you. It's intentional. But the hype of the COVID thing, just the clips I've seen on the net that came from television, from mainstream news and so on, it's just over the top hype. The way that they're speaking is like actors or something with using the voices they would use in a terror movie. Hype, 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 to exacerbate, you know, comply is the message, really. If you want to live, comply, comply, and that's how it's done, isn't it? So everything's a big psychodrama. You know, 9/11 was a psychodrama. You can argue forever what was behind it, but the fact is that what they saw on television was a psychodrama. Repetitive psychic driving. Here's the planes, buildings, boom, 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 over and over and over for days. Until I'm sure most folk were seeing it in their sleep. That was intentional psychic driving, they call it. MK Ultra type experience. Over and over, the same narrative, same narrative, same narrative, same narrative. Mm-mm-mm. And out of it comes part of a new world order, eh? Post-democratic, post-privacy. Here is what George Orwell received after sending the book out to his mentor, in a sense, someone he admired, Huxley. This is what Huxley said. He said that it was 1949, after Orwell's book came out, and Aldous Huxley sent a letter back. So anyway, it says here that, "Dear Mr. Orwell, it's very kind of you to tell your publisher to send me a copy of your book. It arrived as I was in the midst of a piece of work that required much reading and consulting on references. And since poor sight makes it necessary for me to ration my reading, I had to wait a long time." He goes on to say, "Agreeing with all that the critics have written of it, I need not tell you yet once more how fine, how profoundly important the book is. May I speak instead of the thing with which the book deals, which is the ultimate revolution. This is so important, the ultimate revolution. The first hints of a philosophy of the ultimate revolution, the revolution which lies beyond politics." See, here you go, beyond politics. Because all the leaders of all parties, as Quigley said, belonged to the same group and had for over 60 years in the 1960s. So you went way into the 1800s. Anyway, beyond politics and economics, and which aims at total subversion of the individual psychology and physiology, are to be found in the Marquis de Sade. So awfully important, this stuff. Who regarded himself as the continuator, the consummator of Robespierre and Babeuf. The philosophy of the ruling minority in 1984, so he's comparing his book with 1984, is a sadism which has been carried to its logical conclusion by going beyond sex, understand this, and denying it, where in actual fact the policy of the boot on the face can go on indefinitely seems doubtful. Now, don't forget that Orwell was comparing Britain and the West at that time to the Soviet Union, where they had all this stuff in effect, they put into 1984. So Huxley goes on to basically contrast the differences in how he saw the world. And don't forget that Huxley belonged to the scientific elite.
who understood psychology and psychiatry and behaviorism, what we would call neuroscience, and had all the studies of the ages at their fingertips. Always adding to it, right to the present, of course. But he says here, my own belief is that the ruling oligarchy will find less arduous and wasteful ways of governing and of satisfying its lust for power. So there's no problem talking about its lust for power. Just forget all this democracy stuff, and we're here to help you. And for sustainability and saving the planet, I'm talking here, right? To save the planet, we've got to take all your rights away from you and manage you to save us all. That's just the present con, folks, to make it all happen. Anyway, it says, lust for power, and these ways will resemble those which I described in Brave New World. I have had occasion recently to look into the history of animal magnetism and hypnotism, and I've been greatly struck by the way in which for 150 years the world has refused to take serious cognizance of the discoveries of Mesmer, Braid, Esdale, and the rest. Now, remember, this is written in the 1940s. And in the 50s and the 60s, they went way beyond anything with the Esalen Institute and different institutes to set up. Now you can make folk do anything you want them to do, even eat bugs on television or lie in coffins of fecal matter, for that matter. And they'll fight each other to do it, to win something. Who would have thought, eh? So let's go back to what he's saying here. Partly because of the prevailing materialism, and partly because of prevailing respectability, 19th century philosophers and men of science were not willing to investigate the other facts of psychology for practical men, such as politicians, soldiers, and policemen, to apply in the field of government, thanks to the voluntary ignorance of our fathers. The advent of the ultimate revolution was delayed for 5 or 6 generations. The advent of the ultimate revolution was delayed for 5 or 6 generations. Another lucky accident was Freud's inability to hypnotize successfully and his consequent disparagement of hypnotism. This delayed the general application of hypnotism to psychiatry for at least 40 years. But now, listen, psychoanalysis being combined with hypnosis, and hypnosis has been made easy and indefinitely extendable through the use of barbiturates, you're talking about drugs now, which induce a hypnoid and suggestible state in even the most recalcitrant subjects. Now, that was heavily used through the 50s and 60s and 70s, even with MKUltra, which didn't stop when they said it stopped either. And didn't start when they claimed it started. It was much earlier than that too. They were using all kinds of hallucinogenic drugs and so on. And it says, within the next generation, I believe that the world's rulers will discover that infant conditioning, and narco-hypnosis are more efficient as instruments of government than clubs and prisons, and that the lust for power can be just as completely satisfied by suggesting people into loving their servitude as by flogging and kicking them into obedience. In other words, I feel that the nightmare of 1984 is destined to modulate into the nightmare of a world having more resemblance to that which I imagined in Brave New World. The change was brought about as a result of a felt need, right, for increased efficiency. What do you think you're hearing today about, well, sustainability, it's going to be, and they talk about efficiency for farming. It's too important, they say, the United Nations to be left to farmers. And of course, the big corporations say the same thing because they snap up all the farms, the small farms, and amalgamate into their big, big monstrosities. Your whole food supply is under a handful, a small handful, maybe even one cartel, really. What a power that is. What a power, eh? And you have no idea. And you trust all. That's all that holds us together is trust, isn't it? Trusting systems you don't even understand, never mind even know exist for most folk. When you go back into Pavlov, what do you think Pavlov was up to? You think Pavlov was trying to find a way to train dogs? Huh? No, it was to find how to instill into people, all creatures, because they classify people as being just the same, with these massive, you know, repetitive punishment techniques and fear techniques and so on, and which is very similar to what they tried to do with the CIA and MKUltra, where they would literally shock the people with
electroshock treatment, basically, coupled with massive doses of LSD until to depattern the brain. And then they would rebuild the person, literally. That's what it was about. Well, in an advanced system of socialism, they've already done it because they've got the children young. And indoctrination is very strong. And if the yoke, this is the key to it, if the yoke is light, if the burden is light to an extent, and you give them the rewards, just like an animal, you see, then they will come to accept it and it isn't that bad and so on. I always think of the old movies, the Manchurian Candidate. There are different versions of them, and I liked them all, actually, but the idea was quite simple, and you find that many authors touched on that kind of technique of altering behavior by drugs, hypnopedia, even electroshock therapy, repatterning the brain as it tried with MKUltra, things like that. And you have to understand, most folk tend to think in a very singularly objective way. And so if they're looking for something, you can mention terms to them like depatterning the brain, and they'll immediately jump to the MKUltra idea and Cameron's techniques. And he was only one of many in a group at the time across the US and Canada and elsewhere, by the way, who were doing the same things for the same group. But most folk never really think beyond what they know about it. But you got to understand that there are many ways to depattern the brain. It's the object, you see, as the object is depattern, the technique of getting there. There's many different techniques of getting there. Drugs is the easiest way. And the drugs today are far more effective in targeting specific parts of the brain than the old LSD, for instance. Now they're trying to use LSD again now as a therapeutic technique. They never give up, do they? Yeah. But again, that's where money comes into it. But regardless, we've got to always remember that the drugs today, and these drugs are everywhere. It doesn't matter what remote part of the country you live in, you could probably order them or go into the nearest town and order or get them there in a street corner very quickly any time later day. And so many of these drugs are definitely created abroad outside the country. Now, if the systems of police and law enforcement really wanted to, or been given the backing to do so, they could nip a lot of this stuff in the bud. But I've never seen a time, looking at RTLs and newspapers, where it isn't just a suitcase or a briefcase of cocaine anymore, or a bag of it that's getting caught coming. You're finding tons and tons in singular hauls getting caught going into Australia and other countries too. It's such a massive industry. The whole of Latin America is pretty well living off it. And then you have the old triangle, the old golden triangle for the opium, which ends up being heroin. And then they mix in different combinations, of course, with all together, in fact. And then you have the synthetic drugs flooding into the country too. This is by design. It's by design. If you understand that in a war scenario, there are many ways to take down a nation. There's economic, there's psychological. The whole purpose of psychological warfare is to demoralize an enemy so much that they've given up already. They almost got that way in the 60s. Now, what I said earlier too about most folk can't handle the truth, and it's like jumping out of a plane without a parachute, to an extent it is. Because on the way down, you go see all different things, and you'll be clutching at this and clutching at that, and it goes through your hands, yada, yada, yada. And you'll see lots of things you don't want to see. We've all had conditioning, one way or another, just like Brave New World. And all the citizenry had massive conditioning, or MKUltra. We've all had it in so many ways, because the systems didn't develop by themselves, didn't out of nowhere. They were designed by oligarchs, always, to serve the oligarchs. Absolutely. Another analogy was, it's like coming out of a tunnel underground, and you're going towards the light, you know, and try to find the truth or whatever, get into daylight. and you see a little light at the end of the tunnel, and you start to get towards the surface. And when you see, just peer out the tunnel, there's a field. And across the field, there's a forest on the other side of the field. But on the way, you'll see all these signs saying, come here, I've got the truth here. It's like, no, the truth's here, blah, blah, blah. Now you've got all these different things. Here's the alien truth, here's this truth, here's the blah, blah, blah truth. And folk will jump here and there. And literally, they get trapped in a minefield of signs. I've got the truth, I've got the truth, I've got the truth. And you have no idea that literally the oligarchy has set up all these different fronts to detract you from what you're really seeking for. What's left to do when you've lost everything and you can't get work because the economy is not going to give you work anymore? Well, I can get cheap drugs, can you, eh? That'll help you forget for a little while. And it gets worse and worse and worse. Now you have all kinds and fentanyl all over the place and synthetic cannabis now. Flooding in like never before. That's intentional. Like they can't stop that. Don't kid yourself. And at the same time they're doing that, in Canada they've legitimized cannabis use. It was big business, you see, for those that own it. And they're going out. I said this would happen too. They go after the smaller producers to eliminate them. So is it the big sharks can have all the business to themselves. But look around you, eh? Yeah, you wreck societies everywhere you go. The same thing happened in West Virginia. And you had that movie came out too. What was it called? Something that was Oxiana, I think it was, the documentary, well worth rewatching it, folks, or for the first time for those who haven't seen it, and how that whole state was flooded with OxyContin and all kinds of drugs. Whatever they went in for, with any problem at all, they came out with OxyContin. They were deliberately prescribed by all. They brought lots of doctors in from other countries to make sure they would prescribe it, by the way, which they did. These things don't happen by themselves. And I remember when I gave a talk years ago on it, a few months later, after the whole state was wrecked, actually, you know, the whole generation was wrecked, most of the people, or a good lot of them, I should say. Then you had the admission by the FDA that they'd now realized that millions of these OxyContin pills and prescriptions were going through that state per week. Oh, they just noticed. It'd been happening for years. This is all by design. The takedown, eh? Don't forget that drugs is part of the takedown system for warfare purposes. They used it against Russia by dragging them into Afghanistan. The U.S. helped to instigate that whole scenario to get the U.S. into Afghanistan. And then had the Taliban and the different groups that worked with them supply lots and lots and lots of drugs that then went back with the soldiers back to Russia. And they had an incredible drug problem there and a heroin problem and all the rest of it too. Not just, you know. So this is all by design. And again, your own Western rulers, some of the politicians that existed there were part of the opium warlords that flooded China with opium bales till they gave in. You can actually find them. They're still very prominent today, the grandchildren, some great-grandchildren of these particular people. So drugs has always been used as a weapon of war on societies. It's quite fascinating even to see all the professionals on board, psychologists, again, behaviorists, and those who have an interest in changing cultures by manipulating the minds of the people. Much easier to do it in the youth, you know. And they always have done it that way. Pick the youth, introduce certain things, study them intently to see the effects, etc. And when you see that the CIA was definitely involved with the promotion of drugs and discos, and how they even set up one of the major groups actually, they all knew each other in the same circle from university of the Unabomber. He knew some of these guys, eh? And some of them actually talked about it later, some of his targets, that they had been given permission to try experimentation in. They were given Air Force hangars, big aircraft hangars, where they could go in and use them for experimental situations and invite lots of youngsters and give them certain drugs and then start using the strobe lights when they were trying to wonder if they would introduce them into the discos eventually, which they did, of course. And how they studied them, how it threw people off balance, altered the brain waves that you had, the actual levels of brain patterns. And to be more suggestible, and of course it created a form of hypnosis as well. And it could make them, the people who were under the influence of it all, and maybe even drugs too, it would make them more compliant. You could actually do things with them without their knowledge, then they would really not really know so, or even have no memory of what really happened, especially if they're too much alcohol or they give them drugs of certain kinds. These are all big behavioural experiments which they eventually put into mainstream disco dancing. And again, it would further reduce common sense, basically, that little bit of you that makes you apprehensive to go too far in any social situation. Alcohol does that by itself, of course. It breaks down social barriers to an extent in social behaviour, or it's likely called inhibition. That which protects you is they now call inhibition until you maybe do things that perhaps you shouldn't do. Massive behavioural experimentation went on. And then eventually, of course, into the 90s and 2000 onwards, you had the rave parties where even more precise psychoactive drugs were introduced and freely distributed, obviously, to the target groups. You would find psychologists and behaviourists were eventually employed to attend these things, and they give them a higher balcony to watch down on, so they could study the effects of it all, to intensely study them for future use, because they might want to use it on the whole population eventually. You never know, because this is how things really happen and how they work, you know. It doesn't happen by itself. It's not spontaneous and sporadic. It's all planned that way and heavily monitored and examined. We are the big test bed for all this stuff by those who claim that they own you. And the ones who do it on you, practice on you, are the ones who, they're the scientific elite who are employed by the dominant minority, like Aldous Huxley mentioned. It's all been done, eh? And it's sad that most folk live through it, go through it all, and they don't even know it. What they've even been through, they think they've made their own decisions all along the way. Basic hypnosis, I've always said, wouldn't make you do something that you would normally do, not do, you see. That's always been the argument I get with hypnosis, that it's a voluntary compliance. You decide to go under, and if you fight it, you won't go under the same way. And you can't be made to do something you wouldn't normally do. However, if you add strobe lighting into that and the right kind of drugs, you've got a different story, eh? On the go then. You're almost into the MKUltra phase with psychic driving. And they used all these techniques with MKUltra and lots more too, like with the strobe lighting, with the drugs, LSD, with electroconvulsive therapy, meaning they gave them shock treatment all the time, put so much current through their brains, hundreds and hundreds of these episodes, until they literally depatterned the brain memory, until they had no memory at all, and then repatterned the memory. This is what they claim they did. And one or two of the survivors went through the experience, and one woman said, she's Canadian, she said that she can't even remember her previous existence before going into the clinic at all. When she was let out, she couldn't remember any of her, even her own children. And that was CIA. The same CIA that set up hundreds and hundreds of brothels in major cities throughout the US and set up cameras and recruited the prostitutes who were taught how to bring this, you know, to get these guys, bring them home, and get them to experiment with different drugs. They would try to introduce new drugs to them to see what would happen to the Johns. Their behaviours would get manipulated. This is all before Epstein came along, with the big agencies, you know, the big super agencies. So the CIA was involved in this long before. But yeah, introducing drugs into society. Of course, we know that the drugs for guns, con game, the Contra, Iran-Contra scandal, and Oliver North and all of that, and how they were dumping the drugs on American society to get the cash for weaponry and so on, for their other plans of overthrowing governments across the world. The CIA, yeah. You'll never figure them out. Most Americans still think through movies and that they're there for themselves. These characters are so far removed from you and their mindsets and what they're all about. They're all almost an alien species, really. Nothing to do with what you think, nothing at all. Those who want to buy the books and discs I have at cuttingthroughmatrix.com, look up the website, take notes of all the official sites I have there, and you can get the books and discs there. And you can also donate. It tells you where to donate to as well, how to do it. From myself, Alan Watt, it's good night. May your God or your gods go with you.